Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Seth Diamond, Executive Deputy Commissioner of New York City's Family Independence Administration. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Stu Advansky. Seth, you've mentioned the digital finger imaging, and in this economic environment with pressures to do more with less, there's an increased emphasis at the state, local, and federal level to combat fraud, waste, and abuse in social services. To that end, some states are doing the digital finger imaging as a way to combat it. Would you tell us about efforts in New York, and what are some of the benefits of such an approach, and what are some of the drawbacks?
Well, finger imaging is a low-cost way to help ensure the integrity of the program, and it's some people have fears of ink and police stations and things like that when they hear it, but it really is a very non-intrusive, quick process where you go in, you put it, in New York City at least, you put your two index fingers on essentially a computer screen, it takes a picture of it, and you're done in 5 or 10 minutes. And that data is used only for purposes of determining whether you're in receipt of a benefit under a different name somewhere in New York State. It's not used for criminal justice purposes. It's not used for immigration purposes, only for integrity and duplication purposes. I think it's been one of the things that has helped us assure the integrity of the programs. One of the things that welfare was hurt by or burdened by in the early days was a widespread perception among the public that the program was riddled with fraud. And I think that hurt the public support for the program because of course, the focus on employment and moving people to work, which the public has embraced, but also because we have very strong measures to ensure integrity. I think people have greater confidence in the program, so the public investment is more secure than it used to be. So we have finger imaging both for food stamp and cash assistance programs, and it's used typically as part of the application process for all adults. Sometimes for one reason or another, adult is not able to do it then, and we would catch them then at a later point. But most typically, people as part of their application process do it. And I think, again, because it's relatively low cost and easy and is almost pain-free for everyone involved, it really is something that areas should look at if they want to help improve their integrity. The opposition has been that it's stigmatizing and that it deters people from applying. I don't think either of those is true, and I think our experience in the city has shown that, particularly on food stamps where we have huge increases, as we've talked about. We would not have had those big increases if there was a perceived access barrier. I think it's just inconsistent with the large increases we've had that to say that people are deterred from applying because of finger imaging. And especially in the era now, the post-9/11 era that we're in, fingerprinting and finger imaging is much more common. People do it as part of employee timekeeping. You do it. I went a few years ago with my children to Disney World, and part of the Disney World process was fingerprinting so that you wouldn't, go multiple days or something, or somebody wouldn't take your pass the next day and go some. So it's much more commonplace than it used to be. And I think in general, the public is much more accepting of it than they might have been 15 years ago.
So I'd like to spend a minute to transition now to the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your agency will evolve over the next 3 to 5 years, and what role do you see technology playing in helping you in that evolution?
Well, the biggest challenge we're going to face is this continuing resource issue. Even, I think, as the budget situation improves or the economy improves, the city's budget will slowly improve. But I think the experts are saying that it will take a long time, if ever, to get back to the levels that it was 4 or 5 years ago. So we're probably in for a somewhat sustained period of lower than desired resources for our programs. And I think we need to shift. Most government programs, unlike private sector programs, are still based on the notion, at least in New York City, that people have to come in to apply, they have to see a worker, they have to do all their business in the office, and that the worker, in some cases, deals with paper, although we've gotten away much more from paper into electronic areas, but the worker has to do complex determinations to serve people. We need to move much more to areas where we can serve people using the internet, where they don't have to come into the office, where they can access basic information they need from home. We're about to implement in New York State an online application so people will be, for food stamps, so that people will be able to apply online for benefits. But there's a range of information that people now come into the office, basic kind of information that if you were at a bank or with a department store or something like that, you could get probably with a calling and with an IVRS system. But the only way to get it now is to come in. Things like, when will my next benefit be issued? Or I have a problem with my case. I did not comply with employment 3 months ago, and I think that's a period of time that should be ending soon, but I don't know exactly when that ends. Or my daughter is applying for college, and they say they need a statement of public or benefit, public assistance benefit, and I the only way I can get that is to come into the office. It's ridiculous that people have to come in for that. It's bad for people who have busy lives and maybe working or trying to go to work. It hurts the offices in terms of diverting attention from what they need to do, and it's unnecessary. So we need to do a better job of developing a real customer service function that's not based on people coming into the offices, but allows them to either do it through the phone or the computer, some other kind of way.
Seth, you've had a terrific career helping those most in need. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, I found it tremendously rewarding. As I said before, I got lucky and I came in at a time which was a great and exciting time, and that was really a gift that you don't always get. But I would say to make sure you're pursuing something that you're interested in and that you feel passionate about and that you feel like you're doing the right thing. Because when you're in government, you don't have always the resources that you need. You don't always get paid probably what you feel like you should get paid, but probably everybody feels that way. And there's a lot of difficulties. No matter what you think you're doing, there's going to be opposition. But if you think you're doing the right thing, it allows you to overcome all that because you don't care so much about being called names in the newspaper or by advocate groups. The minor annoyances of, the fax machine not working or having to go down the hall or two floors to go to the men's room because it's out of service or, the kinds of things that you deal with in government don't seem such a big deal because you're convinced you're doing the right thing and on the right path. And I think that will sustain you.
I want to thank you for your time today. But most importantly, Stuart and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the city of New York and those most in need.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Since our conversation with Seth Diamond just last week, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced Seth's appointment to be the city's new commissioner of homeless services. We at the Business of Government Hour wish Seth the best of luck in his new leadership role and look forward to having him as our guest in the future. As always, be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.